Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series. And this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to methodically go through it. And we're going to do that in a moment. But we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's truly a joy to come together on this beautiful, sacred Good Friday. I have to be honest, I was thinking earlier today, I said, oh, maybe this is a day not to have a cenacle because it's Good Friday and allows us the opportunity to, to prayer and to meditate, for meditation and to pray, of course. And then I got to thinking what Jesus says. And he said that my birth, my death, my resurrection has had as its primary purpose to bring all souls back to the divine will of God so that God may have the human will. Once again, the resurrection, in essence, of the human will. So I thought it would be appropriate to have this cenacle. And there's only a few of us. I'm actually going to do later on, allow everyone to open their microphones if they'd like to share anything during today's cenacle. But part of the rationale, for lack of a better word, would be from volume 14, September 11th, 1922. This is just an excerpt of it, where Jesus is explaining to us that this is his primary purpose in everything he did. It says there, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption, the sacraments that I instituted and the many graces given to my saints have been the seeds, the means in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. So everything he did, including this Good Friday, Jesus dies a terrible death and it's a Good Friday. And I was just thinking another thing, maybe I think too much, but we talk about our lives and about the things that may have been the bad circumstances or the bad events that may have occurred in our lives, whatever they may be. And we recognize that it's through the mystical gift of God's permissible will, his permissive will, that he allowed those situations to occur so that he may bring a greater good out of it. Then I got to thinking, well, why is that so hard to believe when the greatest of all bad situations, the greatest of all evil situations, the greatest of all treachery that could have ever occurred in the history of mankind was that Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer, would be crucified in a very malicious way, spit on, blasphemed, cursed at. He allowed that. God's permissible will allowed that so that he may rise from the tomb, resurrect our human will and bring us to glory as he planned from the beginning to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. So if he could do that in the most grievous way and turn a great, the greatest of all greats out of the worst of all worst, then anything in our lives, again, that was not pleasant, that may have been bad, maybe even life-threatening, it'd be life-changing. Why is it so impossible to think that his permissible will is not going to do the same for that little thing that we experienced? Little, when I say that compared to what he endured. So he took the greatest of all suffering, the greatest of the, or I should say the worst of all circumstances, and made the greatest out of it. So he showed us that anything under that is not only possible, it's not only probable, but it's guaranteed it's going to happen. And that, I think, was so astounding when I just thought of that. But again, everything he did was to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. He made the ultimate sacrifice, which is really incredible. We're out without Maureen this evening. I'm looking around. I don't see her. She may be in church. Excuse me, my allergies are really, really bad today. But so we know that God is with us. And one of the things that we've spoken about is the resurrection of the creature. I just thought, again, this is not part of the ebook series necessarily, but I guess we're going to make it. I just thought that this was really worth reading and pondering, because this is why he died. This is how he elevated us back to that original form, that original nature. And it's found in volume 36. And, you know, we recognize also that volume 36 is sort of the finale, because it's the last of all the volumes that that Jesus dictated to Louisa. And we know in a finale, you know, if we base it like on a silly example of the fireworks display, the finale is usually everything is blown off. It's the most impressive of all. So in 36, volume 36, God rehashes all the really important things that we must know, all the takeaways, all the last reminders that he gives us. And this one from volume 36, April 20th, 1938, the real resurrection of the creature. Again, I apologize. You have to deal with my voice and not Maureen's beautiful voice, but I'll do the best I can, especially with these allergies. So he goes on to say, after this, I continue. This is Louisa speaking. After this, I continued my round and all that our Lord did on earth. And I stopped in the act of resurrection. What triumph, what glory. Heaven poured itself on earth to be spectator of such a great glory. And my beloved Jesus said, quote, my daughter, in my resurrection, the right was given to creatures to rise again in me to new life. It was the confirmation, the seal of my whole life, my works and my words. If I came on earth, it was to give to each and every one my resurrection as their own, to give them life and to make them rise again in my own resurrection. But do you want to know where is the real resurrection of the creature? Not in the end of her days, but while she is still living on earth. One who lives in my will rises again to light and says, my night is over. She rises again in the love of her creator, so that there is no more cold or snow for her, but the smile of the heavenly spring says again, as she rises again to sanctity, that puts in rushed flight all weaknesses, all miseries and passions. She rises again to all that is heaven. And if she looks at the earth, heaven and sun, she does it to find the works of her creator, to take the opportunity to narrate to him his glory and his long love story. And that's the rounds. That's when we go back and remember all that God did, and we give him the glory due to him on the level due to him that Adam did not, and all the creatures afterwards did not, because again, they lost that divine nature. So he goes on to say, therefore, Jesus speaking, therefore, one who lives in my will can say, as the angel said to the holy women on the way to the sepulcher, he is risen. He is not here anymore. One who lives in my will can also say, my will is not with me any longer. It is risen again in the fiat. And if the circumstances of life, opportunities, and sufferings surround the creature as if they were looking for her will, she can answer, my will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. I possess in exchange the divine will, and I want to cover with its light all things around me, circumstances and sufferings, to make them like many divine conquests. The soul who lives in our will finds life in the acts of her Jesus, and as always in this life, she finds our operating, conquering, triumphant will. She gives us so much glory that heaven cannot contain it. Therefore, always live in our will. Never leave it if you want to be our triumph and our glory. End quote. Fiat. The real resurrection. So God resurrected for our resurrection. We share in that resurrection. The divine will given the opportunity to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God, before which we didn't have the opportunity. The gates, in essence, of heaven were reopened. That's incredible. That really is incredible. The real resurrection. Please meditate on that. It takes a lot more than just, you know, reading it quickly like I did. There's so much there. And again, everything that God did, there is nothing I did which did not have as its primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. So everything he's given us, the church, the sacraments, each other, everything has been to bring us back. That I think is incredible. Okay. We did finish up the last subject or topic, I should say. And we're beginning now with 5.3.7.5, if you're following along in Father Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which I thought I had here. Okay. Mine's not in great shape, but it's definitely red for sure. This is called the Cosmic Theology. And just to do a quick definition check, I used Wiki, which I don't really like, but Cosmic Theology is a religious cosmology. It's an explanation of the origin, evolution, and eventual fate of the universe from a religious perspective. Again, this is the return of the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. It's exactly what it is. And it goes back to the to Maximus, who did quite a bit of writing. We read about him. We read about P.G. Renzin. So we're going to begin and maybe jump into a couple, actually maybe only one footnote because of time. Beautiful. So I'm going to bring the pointer out so that I can keep track of where I am. It's hard for me to do two things at one time. Okay, so let me get that there. All right. This begins, and again, this is the summary for those of you joining us for the first time. Father Annuzzi was asked by the Archbishop of Corrado back in 2001 to translate all of Luis's writings from Italian to English, which he did. And Father was so enamored by what he read, meditated on, and prayed on, that he decided to use it for his doctoral dissertation. He received permission from the Archdiocese. He received permission from his superior in Rome, and he did. It took him 12 or 13 years to complete it. So what he does is he takes all of Luis's writings, he gives us a summary. And remember the antidote or the advice that the late Archbishop Pacieri gave us. He said, quote, "All who read these writings, be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have." How can we not have theological questions? We're not theologians. Again, you don't have to be a theologian to receive this gift. far from. But to be guided along the path is very important, because again, when you come to a fork in the road, one way is right, one way is wrong. And if you take the incorrect road and then subsequent incorrect roads, you can be far off the path where you're supposed to be on. So it's really important to do that. So we have it here with Father Iannuzzi's dissertation. Again, he's given us a summary. Then, in addition to the summary, he drives us into the volumes so we can read what Jesus said, what our Blessed Mother said, not influenced from someone's opinion or thoughts or processing of what was said, but the actual words of Jesus and of Mary, which is so astonishing. So all of this was given approval by the Gregorian University of Rome, which many, I think 12 or 13 popes actually passed through. And it's authorized by the Holy See. So abrogation is approval. So everything that Father's written here, the summary, summarizing Luis's writings, driving us into the appropriate passages to corroborate and to substantiate where Father Iannuzzi drew this conclusion. And he had a proof in this thesis that everything that Luisa wrote, everything that she penned, that Jesus and Mary dictated, was grounded in our Catholic faith. And he successfully defended that. So we've got a great tool to use, especially when it comes to cynicals. You may want to just grab a little snippet of one of the summaries, use the footnotes, and then just use that as your basis. Again, just not every cynical perhaps, but once in a while, it's a great base. And again, you're fulfilling the Archbishop's plead to have a priest to be available for those theological questions. And the great news is, too, that we still have Father Iannuzzi with us. So if we have an additional question besides his summary, besides the corroboration of the passages, we have the Q&A every other week with Father Iannuzzi, where we can address our questions. And if we can't wait the 2 weeks every time we have Father with us, we can always submit the questions to his website. He has a Q&A page, which he responds to. If it's important and you need something really, really fast, send it into Mary's Hill. We'll send it to Father and explain that this is pertinent to a particular date or a cynical or some gathering that this information is needed. And we'll do the best we can to get you that information. So it's all here. Again, as we await the critical edition of Luisa's writings, which we're not sure when we're going to have that, because the current Archbishop in 2022, stated that there's sort of a pause. Pause is not a good word. A quagmire, stall, perhaps, at this particular time, because there are certain ambiguities regarding Luisa's writings. Now, again, an ambiguity is not a problem per se of something erroneous, something not good. This is not to do with the authenticity of it or the Catholic authenticity of it. It has to do with the Vatican and Corrado not being able to fully explain certain aspects of Luisa's writings so that it may be presented to the faithful. They cannot get to that juncture in several places in Luisa's writing. So this is what's holding things up. They need a theologian that can explain this from a Catholic perspective, of course. We know Father Iannuzzi can do this because he's already done it, but they just haven't asked him. So we pray for that. But in the meantime, as we're waiting for that critical edition, we have this beautiful gift of Father's dissertation. And we also have the opportunity to advance in the divine will in faith, total faith. Because when the church puts its final stamps of approval and says, this is it, this is what you're to use, I have to believe that some of that faith is going to convert to obedience. The church says we must, and we must. So right now, it's the faith that really moves God. And remember, we were told by Jesus that the best way, the fastest way, I don't even know if I have it in front of me here, to gain entrance into this divine will and to move forward is to move God. And of course, I can't find it. Actually, I just did find it. What a mess I have here. It's volume 23, November 27th, 1927. This is Jesus speaking to Luis and also to us. My daughter, that which is most necessary, not my daughter, one of the most necessary or one of the most important. No, my daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will, reigning in the midst of creatures. End quote. So we need to move God to prove to God that we really want this. We really trust him. We really love him. We really believe in him. And again, we really want this. That's going to move God. And we can do that in a myriad of different ways. Of course, when we open the volumes, or do some reading and some pondering or some listening, that's one way. Of course, it's a great way of moving God, showing God that we have this intention, this desire, this ardent desire, which he says we must form. And if you want to see what the components of or the ingredients are of an ardent desire, it's on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's in the it's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And just look under Ardent Desire. And basically what happened here was Father Inuzzi extracted out from the volumes in certain volumes where Jesus speaks about what is the criteria to form an ardent desire. This must be in place to be considered an ardent desire. And we took that and we put it into a little bit of a diagram to make it easy to look at and perhaps understand. And this is something nice to look back at and say, okay, are we doing this? Are we doing that? Can we do this better? Can we do that better? And again, not to just be stuck in that, but just to know what God is looking for. Because how can we be confident that we're delivering to God his expectations if we don't know what exactly those expectations are specifically? And that's what happens here. So that's what's really, really great about that. So again, we have this treasure. It's available on Father's website, livinginthedivinewill.org. And it's available in soft copy, like I have, hard copy, ebook version. And if anyone has a liking for it and a desire to have it, and for whatever reason, maybe finances are not in the greatest of situation, I understand that completely. Just send us an email and we'll make sure we get you a copy free of charge. So please use that if you need. Okay. Where was I? I didn't even start yet. Okay, here we go. Okay, again, Father's summary. In Maximus's writings, P.J. Renzin's, again, we talked about that a month or two ago. There is in the dissertation a little bit of a bio on both Maximus and on P.G. Renzin's and their importance in their writings. Again, we don't have time to go into that right now, unfortunately. Notes that the divine energy assumes the value of an actualization of resonant powers in being. End quote. Now, again, a lot of this is going to be so new to the ears. And when I first read this, I said, I have no idea what they just said, what Father just said in the summary. But again, as you read it, and as you, more importantly, as you read the summary, just get an inkling as to what it's talking about. Again, I don't understand it the way Father writes sometimes. But once you go into the volumes, once you start to dissect what Jesus said and what Mary said, then you take that in the context of what Father Inuzzi said, and it all seems to flow. Again, none of this is possible without divine grace, without the mystical gift of understanding, and all of which God wants to give us. Again, if we can prove that that ardent desire to him, which we all have, otherwise we wouldn't be here right now on Good Friday talking about the divine will as we are. So the actualization of resonant powers in being, and I couldn't explain that, but we're going to get an inkling as to what that is in a bit, and relentlessly pushes these towards a higher thing, always realizing more. Again, this journey that we've been taking for the last 2,000 years, we're always progressing. And yes, because the church has the human factor, it's going to be two steps forward, one step back. Not to be dismayed when we get the one step back, you know, because we know we're going to be going forward. At the end of the day, if you take two steps forward, one step back, you're still, in the end, one step forward for that day. I remember what St. Cyril Jerusalem said, because things are going to get, I think things are going to get very difficult in this world, and much of which may have to do with the church in a negative way. But St. Cyril Jerusalem reminds us with this short quote, "Flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but do not leave the church," end quote. So if there are some negative effects around us, whether it be in the church, outside the church, in our prayer groups, in our cynical groups, gatherings, we may have to make some tough choices. But to flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, and do not leave the church. Great advice from St. Cyril Jerusalem. He knows. Okay. Towards a higher thing, always realizing more every day. Where we say that quote, you know, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. Well, we need to physically awaken so that we have the opportunity to spiritually awaken. But to physically awaken and not to strive for a spiritual enlightenment, you know, really could be a waste of our day. That's not why God has given us life. God has given us life so that we can claw our way back, so that we can have perfect harmony, perfect peace, perfect love with Him. And that's where we're going. That's where moving towards a, quote, higher thing, always realizing more, until attaining the goal at which this was aiming. And we know what it's aiming. Jesus told us, volume 14, September 11th, 1922. There is nothing I did which did not have as its primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his, end quote. That is the end all purpose. That is the attaining goal, which God wants to bring us back to. So until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, we know what that is. The universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. Okay, still in progress. All available to us. But again, God hasn't hit that number yet. Remember, He's got that number in his all-powerful mind, that when a certain number of individuals embrace this gift, form that ardent desire, and begin their journey, when that certain number is hit, God is going to unleash the floodgates and give this to the world. So we can't worry about what numbers they are or who's part of those numbers. Really, we have enough to be concerned with just ourselves. And again, we're concerned with ourselves so that we also can do a greater good. Remember, this is not, Jesus says, this is not about the making of a saint, but this is about safeguarding the ages for all the creatures, all souls, because this gift has with it the ability to impact all creatures. Think about that, past, present, and future, concomitantly at the same time, never before given, never before understood, never really before presented until now. So astonishing. By this means, excuse me, God makes them all, along with the all, a unified symphony. Again, we talked about that also. We're all part of the symphony. Some of us are trombonists, some of us are flautists, some of us play the piano. And some of us may have what we consider, or what the world may consider, an insignificant role. We may be that one that clasps the cymbals at the end of a chorus or a stanza. A person just waits around. Looks like they're doing nothing. But if that cymbal clash is absent, everybody recognizes it. Everybody knows it's very important. It's also like that one piece of the puzzle. It could be a massive puzzle. But if you're missing one piece, it's still technically incomplete. So we're all part of this, all play a significant role. Yeah, some may be on microphones and some may not. Actually, I think the ones that are not are probably more important than the ones that are on microphones. This is my own personal opinion. So along with all, a unified symphony, a unison of motion. This, remember the cog? unison of motion. If I can find back right, but that's us. This was it. This was in the beginning. This is God, the uncaused cause, the power behind everything. And Adam, any of you, were intimately connected, drawing the power from God. And they were to draw down this power and give to all the other cogs, all the other creatures, this gift of God. But then when Adam sinned, he disengaged from God's power. Yes, God kept the power going, but we just could not draw from it. So if Adam and Eve could not draw from it, of course their descendants could not draw from it. See if I can find my way back here. It's definitely Jerusalem. Okay. Luis underscores Maximus's teaching on creation, on creation's divinization and unification, when she asserts that through man, creation is divinized and restored to the original unity, order, freedom, and harmony it enjoyed before sin. Remember, Father Nuzzi in his retreat in the Philippines, which is on our front page, he mentions that when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, of course, when that connection was broken, everything fell into disorder, including all the elements. The seas came over the land, the earth, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the volcano. Everything was in disorder. Actually, I heard someone say that it was nature was rebelling against man because nature was created for man to see God through. But now, since they lost those spectacles, those goggles to look, it's as if nature received a pink slip. They got laid off because they cannot fulfill their job because of man's inability to stay connected to God. So they got angry, I mean, metaphorically speaking, and then they became violent, and they're going to become more violent as man moves further away from God, which seems to be what's happening now. So again, freedom and harmony it enjoyed before sin. That's footnote number 296. So again, now Father brings us into the footnotes, into the volumes, and we're going to go to 296. And 296 that Father brought us to is from volume 14, September 5th, 1922. One who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation within herself. And then as you see, I put this cross here, which is usually our stop point. I know it's only one sentence. Come on, Pete, let's get through this. But just that sentence alone led me to another passage that I was familiar with that I think explains this. So again, what volume 14, September 5th, 1922 says, one who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation within herself. Okay. Now I'd like to add to that volume 17, January 4th, 1925. Louisa relates, again, just understand that, I started to fuse my entire poor being in the supreme will. And as I was doing so, I noticed the heavens opening. And I went up to meet the whole heavenly court. And all of heaven came toward me. And my sweet Jesus said to me, my daughter, fusing yourself in my will is the most solemn act. It is the greatest one, the most important of your entire life. Now, I don't know how you can explain that any better than that. I mean, this is not something that's very important. It's not important among others. Again, it is the most, just like, you know, to move God is the most important. It is the most solemn act. It is the greatest one. It is the most important, excuse me, of your entire life. That speaks volumes. And what is it? To fuse yourself in my will is to enter the eternal mode, to embrace it, to impress upon it a mystical kiss, and to receive the treasury of the blessings that my eternal will contains. What is more, as the soul fuses itself in our supreme will, all of heaven goes out to meet this soul, to convey to it all the blessings and glory that they possess. The angels the saints, and the divinity itself convey everything to this soul. Again, one who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation. What is more, as the soul fuses itself in our supreme will, all heaven goes out to meet the soul to convey to it all the blessings and glory that they possess. The angels and the saints and the divinity itself convey everything to the soul, knowing that what they convey is conveyed in God's will. It's what God wants, where everything is safe. We're not safe where we are right now. We die. We weren't supposed to die. Conveyed in God's will where everything is safe. What is more, in receiving these blessings, the soul multiplies them through its acts in the divine will, and in return gives to all of heaven double honor and glory. Therefore, by fusing yourself in my will, you put heaven and earth in motion. The cog again. I'm not going to go back up because I'll lose my place. It is a new feast for all of heaven. And since fusing oneself in my will is to love and to give of oneself for each and every one, without excluding anyone, in my goodness, so as not to be won over in love by the soul in my will, I place within it all the blessings intended for each and every one, and all conceivable goods that I possess within me. If you knew what you do and what happens when you fuse yourself in my will, you would eagerly yearn to do it continuously. Now, that I thought was just to help us with just this one line. One who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation. Now, we can't do that by ourselves. We can't do any of this by ourselves. How can we go out and get all of creation? It's actually laughable. We can't, but God can. And he will. He promises. And again, both of these passages, the main one, volume 14, the subsequent one, volume 17, in its Italian translation, both of these passages, carry the church's imprimatur, Neil Obstant. The church found nothing wrong with those statements. Okay, but see, now the ambiguity, perhaps, of what Corrado and the Vatican are going through is, now, how do you further and fully explain that? That's where they're having difficulty doing. But again, through the grace of God, that's going to happen when it happens. And we pray, if it be his will, that Father gets involved, Father Nuzzi, so that that this can be done. It's so astonishing what he's doing. And again, I don't think we have any more time to go further, because it gets really deep and it gets great because of the different footnotes and different passages. And I have a couple other passages that I'd like to consolidate with these also, just like I did there. It helps me. I hope it helps someone else to better understand what Jesus said, because he says, one who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation within herself. And then I think the volume 17 explains how we can do that, or how we can allow God to do it. I think it's a better way to say that. And the great thing to remember also, and we've talked about this almost every week, what's above it in blue, if you can see it. Grace anticipates the soul. So what we need will be given to us when we need it. And then it goes on to say, while the soul experiences this state, God communicates his grace, the grace of true and eternal love. I limit myself to adding that grace anticipates the soul. It arouses it. But only when the soul masticates and digests these truths, as the body consumes and digests food, does the grace communicated then enter to take possession of the soul. This is why not everyone receives the effects described above. For some let such grace escape their minds like bright flashes, and they fail to make any room for it. We'll stop there. So, silly analogy I have there is, okay, so we're talking about masticating, chewing. And God gives us an analogy with the human digestive system. Soul masticates, chews, digests, The digestion starts with the eye. We have that desire. We consume the food. We chew it, because the better we chew it, the better we can digest it, the better we can take those nutrients and through the digestion permeate those nutrients to all the cells and give us strength, vitality, and health. The same spiritually. So we start with our eye. We recognize this gift to be something extraordinary. And we begin to read or listen, take in the food. How we chew on it. What does that mean? What does that mean? God, please let me know. Give me some insight. Explain this to me. And he will. He may not do it right away. He may do it tomorrow morning when you wake up and do your preventing act. Say, wow, what I read yesterday, I didn't get it, but now I get it. Might be a week, might be a month in God's time. He's going to give it to us, though. So as we know, we must chew our food well, swallow, and our digestive system in a healthy mode does its job. Same with the spiritual world. Chew on it, digest it, and then receive more. God says, I'll wait till you chew. And actually, he gives Luis a warning. He says, as much I've given you already that you have not fully masticated. So I've given you much that you haven't fully chewed, you haven't fully contemplated, haven't fully meditated on, haven't fully asked me for help in understanding. You didn't go to my mother and say, Blessed Mother, please explain this to me. Luisa, please intervene for me. Ask the Blessed Mother of Jesus to help me understand this. It's so incredible. So incredible. There's only a few of us today, and that's great, but I'm going to, if anybody would like to share anything, why don't I do this? I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if you'd like to and share any thoughts. I mean, we literally scratched the surface. I'm sorry if I spoke too much here, but there's just so much here, so much, you know, working in my mind, and I've got a really tiny mind, so it gets cluttered quickly. Any thoughts on this beautiful Good Friday, where God did this and everything else for the primary purpose of my divine will taking possession of us and I of his? That's incredible. Any thoughts? It's just beautiful. I think we'll stop there. I'm going to go back to the adoration, basically the pieta that Poland has in place of the Eucharist. Before I do that, though, I just want to remind everyone that we have tomorrow will be a day of meditation, prayer, of course. But Sunday we have with us live via live stream from Italy, we have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. They'll be coming to us live at 2 p.m. So we'll begin at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll begin with adoration, well, the Pieta, meditating on Christ, Holy Rosary, the Sorrowful Mysteries, and then we'll have Mother and the Sisters with us from 2 to 3:30 on Easter Sunday. And, I didn't ask Mother and the Sisters because I thought they'd be busy. I didn't want to, you know, disrupt their Easter celebration, but they said, Peter, this Sunday is basically our turn. It's Easter Sunday. We'd love to join. Are you having a Santa Claus? Absolutely. So Mother and the Sisters are going to be with us. They're excited. We learned so much from them. They really teach us how to apply this, how to live this in our ordinary lives, because that's really all we have. 99% of the time we have our ordinary lives, but that's where God can shine. Through our little things. In fact, he tells us that. I definitely don't have that in front of me, but it's in the little things that, again, move God. Let's just take one quick example before we end. Remember when the woman, the elderly woman, we think elderly, in Scripture, she gave the 2 pence. You know, others were giving large amounts of money because they had much money. She gave 2 pence, which was virtually nothing. It's like us giving 2 pennies. And God was moved. And you say, why was God moved with the two pennies? Well, because as the others were giving their excess, she gave her all. And that moved God. Again, we can move God. It doesn't have to be financially. Like most times it's not financially. Again, the ardent desire, trusting God, wanting this gift, saying, yes, you've called me. I'll be the one of those, however number you need, Lord. I'll be one. And I'll try to introduce this to a couple others. But again, always due to the circumstances. St. Hannibal taught us that. He says, well, I talk about the divine will to whomever I feel of good spirit, or whenever I have the occasion to do so, which is, to me, a great example of follow your instinct. Let our Lord guide you into who to share this with. Because if you share with everybody, 99 out of 100, if not higher than that, it's probably going to say, they may listen, but they're not hearing, or they may hear, but they're not listening. And that can be frustrating. So, you know, whenever you move to share it, sometimes I leave something on the pew. Sometimes I'll give somebody a card. God has to do the work. We do very little. We're basically cheerleaders. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good cheerleader. Any final thoughts, anyone? It's a glorious day. Again, God gave us the example, the greatest sacrifice and the greatest miracle, the greatest good that could come out of that sacrifice, so that we understand that whatever we have gone through is not only nothing compared to God, but everything will be used for good if we allow God to do it. So we don't beat ourselves up on the path, on the past, but we do recognize our faults. We try not to repeat them and say, Lord, I've gotten here because of that. Thank you for letting me hit the wall or fall down so you can pick me up. It's beautiful. I'd like to end with something I think is very encouraging. Excuse me. And this comes from volume 12, January 24th, 1921. And this pretty much tells us where we are. Gosh, we're in the greatest of situations. So we'll end with this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come to divine will. Pray in our praying. Volume 12, January 24th, 1921. So shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. End quote. I'll read it one more time. I'm going to throw in my 2 cents if I could. So shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you, Louisa. Okay. Starts with Louisa. She was given the gift so that all others who want this gift may receive it. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Well, that's happening as we speak, but the priest was given knowledge of it. St. Hannibal de Francia was recognized by Christ as the first apostle of the divine will. Now, there'll be other priests, many other priests, but the good news here is your grain shall be formed with you, Louisa. That's already occurred. The priests, only the priest shall have knowledge of it. That's already occurred. Then a few souls. That could be us. That could be us. He didn't say then a few more priests. I mean, that's a high level given. It's going to be many more priests. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. Maybe us. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and follow the same path as creation and redemption. End quote. It's unequivocally deniable that God has called us to this gift. Question is, what will be our response? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Our Lady. We thank you, Louisa, for everything you've done and you continue to do. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So have a blessed Good Friday, beautiful Holy Saturday, and hopefully see everyone with Mother and the sisters. It should be fun at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. I didn't do anything. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut, I guess you want to call it.
Thank you, Peter.
We're blessed. We are blessed. Bye, everyone.
God bless.